Lord, to draw from that great fountain. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would draw us closer unto you day by day. Lord, that we would surrender more every moment of every day, Lord. That we would come to that full preeminence, Lord, that you had in your mind before the foundation of the world. Forgive us our short places, Lord. Help us, guide us, build that fire in our hearts, Lord. Kindle it daily, Lord, that we would be about your business, Lord. We would be doing those things, Lord. That desire would be growing and burning within us, Lord, to fulfill your heart's desire. Well, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Good to see each one. And we're happy to see both the girls tonight. They're both off from work. That's a great. Sometimes I just feel sorry for them because I know that where they work, it's hard work. And, of course, I don't know anybody that has an easy job. Not even the Duke Power. They have a lot of good benefits and a lot of good things. And I joke about it a lot, but there's pressure. It's work. There's not many people that they don't have to work for it. It's every job. There's always a catch. You can say, well, this is easy, yeah, but there's a catch. They're not just giving you a check. You got to do something to get it. So, well, now we're missing Sister Emily tonight. We hope she's okay, and she's sick. We want to remember her. So we thank God for the opportunity. And so now I want to get right into the message tonight. And let me say again, I'm not hearing what Brother Michael's saying, so I don't know what announcements he made. But I'm sure he reminded you about the dinner on Sunday. And so we're looking forward to Brother Goomba giving a report now on the trip, and then having some fellowship, having a meal afterwards, so that people can talk to him and ask him questions, whatever you like, if you have some questions about, the journey, the trip, the way things are going on the mission field, especially in Kenya, he can really enlighten you on those things. And so be a good opportunity. And so we're looking forward to that. And so also we're getting ready now for the Easter meetings, and we're doing our best. Brother Michael's worked hard on the invitations. We're trying our best to get them out this week, and because especially for Kenya, it can take a couple months. It can take a month or two just to get an appointment, and so it'll be we're pushing for those there. But they have February, they have March, and then they have 2 or 3 weeks, at least 2 weeks in April. So if we get them off right away, it'll be okay. And Brother Goomba was working on some, I'm reminding him. So I meant to text you today, Brother. Sorry, I got sidetracked. But those brethren in South Africa, I talked to Brother Rohan today, and both of them were on. I ministered this morning on Capstone. And so those brethren from Sri Lanka, they were on, and we got to talk to them. And they're going to send their information, their passports, and we're going to get them an invitation. We've talked to Brother Kuroki, invited him. He's going to try to, his passport has ran out. He's going to try to renew his passport. And so it's just those brothers in South Africa. There's some in Johannesburg, and there's some in Cape Town. And so we want to extend the invitation to those brethren. And anybody else who's hearing this and would like to come, you're most welcome. And we think that Brother Brian, Brother Bennett will be coming. We're hoping. He wasn't able to make it to Theka, but he said if he didn't make it this time, he would come next time. So, but he has talked about coming and fellowshipping with us. And so we'd really like to get to know him better in the Word. He believes this message, and he's preaching, and so I believe he's very deep in it, and we want to just have some fellowship with him in that. Amen. So now, as always, not always, but it just seems like it's so easy for me. Sunday, the water, I don't know what happened. Satan just does things to distract me and to make me nervous. And I don't know the why. I was in the shower on Sunday morning. I got in about 7 o'clock, and just a few minutes into it, it just started, and it was really high pressure, and it was just blowing, and so I was going crazy, and so it was just a problem. So I was trying to get it solved, and then so I was trying to figure out if it was here. The people came and they went and checked the well. They said the well was okay. So I went to the church as they were opening, met some of the brothers and sisters over there. Their water was fine. So, and we're tied together. So it was only here. And so it was only for church. It's only lasted for church. So afterwards, the afternoon, it was all gone. We never figured out. I crawled under the house. I went through all of that, you know, on my belly. I never could find the problem, never could figure out anything, nothing. And they gave me all kind of ideas, so it's just one of those things. And so it just happened. And so now, just a few minutes ago, I just started looking for quotes to go another, or add something extra into this. And so I was just going off memory. I preached some of these things years ago, but I didn't even look to see if I had those quotes separated out. I know I have them somewhere, but anyways, I just collected a bunch of quotes just right here in the last 20 minutes and threw them in here and sent them off. And so I wanted to make a point of something on the difference between the thunders and the seals. And so as I was reading, and I didn't get all the quotes that I would like to have in here. There's one in the questions and answers where they're asking Brother Branham the question about it. And when you listen to some of the quotes, some of the messages, it sounds very much like he's saying that the seven seals and the seven thunders is the same thing. Because he says it's in there. He said, he puts them right together. And so there's some quotes that makes it sound like it's the same thing. And so I'd like to bring some of them quotes as I'm going along here, because in the things that we've been talking about, how that God is bringing a new part in every age, how he's revealing more in every age and those things. And so we're just getting to our day. And so I was bringing them quotes. On Sunday, we read those quotes where previously we had went through the Old Testament, something new, something new, something new. Then we got to the New Testament. John was something new. Jesus was something new. And all I'm saying, hid from the foundation of the world. Something not known from the foundation of the world. The Apostle Paul comes on the scene, says he's revealing the mysteries that had not been known since the world began, over and over and over. So it comes down to, now we're down to our day. And so then in those quotes, I had those quotes, and I've had them for a while here, but I started adding something to it. And so I was home all day and it didn't come to me. And then it comes to me in the last 30 minutes. And so it just happens sometimes. But God is, he's in control. He has a purpose. He has a reason. So let's just begin reading here. This is in the Laodicean church age. Now, this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelations 10:7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Number two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelations 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. He's saying the seven thunders are the revelations or the mysteries that are contained in the seven seals. So, it will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that will literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. As Brother Branham said about the thunders, he said that's what would bring rapturing faith. And so he's saying these revelations are contained in here, in these seven seals. Now, one thing I didn't try to pull out, and that is where Brother Branham breaks up the seals, and he divides it into six seals, and he divides it into the seal. And the seal being the last seal, being the seventh seal. And so the seventh seal is our message today. I mean, the seventh seal is our message. The six seals was revealing what had happened through the church ages. And
when Brother Branham is identifying those seven mysteries, he identifies a lot of things. And the ones he says the most, he says marriage and divorce, he says serpent seed, he says, I can't remember the other one, but then there's places where he talks about the rapture, the coming of the Lord, different things. And so, does he mention those things in the seals? He does. He mentions them. They're throughout there. Did he break them down and reveal them like he did after the seals? No, he didn't. Not in the seals, he didn't. He broke them down afterwards and brought the revelation of each one of them, as is plainly said in marriage and divorce and different ones. So he revealed the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. Now, and in Knoweth It Not, he says, there will be hideous sights upon the earth, locusts with hair like women, long hair to haunt them that cut their hair, teeth like a lion, stingers in their tails like scorpions. They would torment men months. Just wait till we get into the opening of them plagues and seals and them seven thunders. And watch what takes place. Oh, brother, you better get into Goshen while there's time, see? Now, in this message, this is in 1965, and he's saying he wants to get into the opening of the plagues and the thunders, but he also mentions the seals. He includes the seals in there, and they were preached 2 years previous. So, now watch what he says in God of this evil age. Now, in doing this, I've come here for the purpose of teaching the last vials, the last seven vials, and the last seven trumpets, and the last seven thunders of the book of Revelations, tying them together in this hour that we're now living to follow. Now here, he separates them here. In the other quotes, he sounds like he's tying them together. Here, he's separating them. To follow the opening of the seven seals and the seven church ages. Another place, Brother Branham talks about it. He says, first had to be revealed is the 70 weeks of Daniel. And you have your book on the 70 weeks. And he said, then came the seven church ages. So that was the order of the revelation. And he said, before the seals could be revealed, the seven church ages had to be revealed first. That had to be revealed first. He said, then come the seven seals. Then after the seals, he said, then comes those seven mysterious thunders. And the fourth seal. And now, these seven seals that this book is sealed with, and those seven seals, see, after those seven seals are completed, after they're what? After they're completed. After they're revealed. We find in Revelation 10 that there were seven mysterious thunders that John was commissioned to write, but then forbidden to write those. We find in Revelation 10 there were seven mysterious thunders that John was commissioned to write, but then forbidden to write those. And at the time of those thunders, we find Christ, or the angel, come down with a rainbow and put his feet on the land and the sea and swore that time had run out at that time. So, there is identifying. Sometimes when you read Revelation 10, you're not identifying. You're seeing what he's doing, but he's identifying that's his coming. Amen. That's his coming. He's coming, and he speaks the seven thunders when he comes. Now, I've heard, but now I see. Now, we're promised a church age through reformers, and we've had them, but he promised in Malachi 4 he'd keep his pattern in the last days. What would take place? To turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the apostolic fathers. For that very purpose. And the church is so broke up in denominations and ism, it's so tore to pieces till it's dead. It's been a carrier. That's what it's been. It's been a carrier. And then he promised, in the hour of the seventh angel's message, the seven seals would be revealed. The mysteries of God would be declared, Revelation 10. See? When the seventh angel begins to sound his message, not the healing service, the message that follows the healing service. Now, Brother Branham, he talks about the signs, he talks about the wonders. We've read a lot on that lately, that was to get the attention of the people because the message was coming, because God was going to speak. And that's exactly what happens. That's what Revelation 10 is all about. It's God speaking those seven thunder mysteries, standing in the gap. Well, the interpretation of that, of course, was given here at the church before it come to pass. And the time is now that I believe that the full revelation through the age of Luther and Wesley and John Smith, Alexander Campbell, the different ones that's preached on the Bible, then we got over in the Bible and showed that there would be a seventh angel's message. And at the seventh angel's message, all of the mysteries of God would be made known. Then come, after all the mysteries. And this is what Brother Branham made clear in the church, in the seal book, is when the seals were breaking open, he's making it clear that all of the Bible was revealed. Then comes seven mysterious thunders. Then comes, the seals are broke off the Bible, and it opens up the door for all of this to be made known, all the rest of it to open up. But you're trying to separate it. It's all the same thing. It's all the Word of God. It's all the revelation. It's all Him. And He come to reveal more of Himself. That's what He was doing. That's what the whole thing has been. And so, but the seven seals, when they opened, it opened up the entire Bible. It opened up the entire Scripture. It opened up the whole thing. Brother Branham said all of the Bible had to be revealed first. Then comes seven mysterious thunders. In the rapture, you're not blind people. You're sensible people. Then if I stood here and said those things for prejudice, I say it because it's life, because I'm responsible to God for saying it. And I must say it. And my message all the time, knowing back there under the healing. Listen, all that time, he said, knowing all that time, back there, he knew. He knew that he was called to reveal these things. But yet, he had to come through those poles. He had that first pole, that second pole, through all of that supernatural, through all of those signs. Brother Branham called it in the message, voice of the sign. He called it the sign of Sodom. The sign of Sodom. He said, the sign of Sodom has been produced, it's been made known. And he said, then comes the voice. Then comes the voice of God, the voice of Malachi 4, to bring the message to the people, to get us back to the Word of God. I want to read it again. All the time knowing, back there under the healing and so forth like that, was just to catch the attention, the people's attention. Knowing the message would come, and here it is. And them seven seals opened, those mysteries, and showing those things is what's happened. And I didn't know it. Huh? Now, some of it he didn't know, and some of it he told them. When he was preaching it, he said, you know, I know what that means. Yep. When he couldn't tell them, he said, I can't tell you until God allows me to tell you. And so he would be talking about dreams, he'd be talking about visions, and he wouldn't tell the people, especially when he had the six dreams and capped it with the seventh with the vision. He said, they were bringing the dreams to him. And he's saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And then he got down the road and he said, you know that I know what that means. You know I know. But he couldn't tell it till it was time to tell it. He couldn't let it out until God told him to let it out. God doesn't call man to judgment without first warning him. Don't you love him? Think of what we are. Look how far up the road we are, friend. Just look back down the road from way down yonder in the days of Luther and Wesley. On down through the ages. Look here where we're at. Right here at the top of the pyramid, right here where God has proved it. Praise God. See, that the Bible through the seven seals, the Bible, through the seven seals, has been perfectly revealed. Waiting only now for them seven mysteries right at the last. Now, is he separating it? He's separating it. The Bible has been revealed perfectly through those seven seals. Waiting only now for those seven mysteries right at the last on the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church. That might happen before morning. Oh my. On the rapture of the church, what did he say the thunders was going to do? Bring rapturing faith. Bring rapturing faith. Who is this Melchizedek? Now that was my last 15 minutes that just felt inspired to throw in there. And so it's there. And it took 15 minutes to get it, and it took 15 minutes to read it. So here we go. Now notice, like the sculpture, he hides with a mask over it. That's what God has done to this age. It's been hid. All these things has been hid and is supposed to be revealed in this age. Now, we know it's not just this age. We know it was the church ages. We know it was all the way back from the garden. We know it's been hid all the way through. It's been in mystery form, and it's been God taking the veil off, slowly revealing himself until this day, to where he fully unveils himself so that we can see. Now, the Bible says that they will be revealed in the latter times. It's like a sculpture keeping his piece of work all covered up until the time he takes the mask off of it, see? And there it is. And that's what the Bible has been. It's been a work of God that's been covered up. And it's been hid since the foundation of the world. But this great mysteries has been hid. But remember now, it was hid what was revealed in Abraham's day. It was revealed what Jeremiah was revealing in his day. Those things had not been known from the foundation of the world. Isaiah was revealing something in his day that had been hid from the foundation of the world. Jesus spoke things that had not been known since the foundation of the world. Paul did the same thing. It's been a constant. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Constantly unfolding, constantly revealing something that had never been known before. You say, brother, you're becoming a broken record. You're just saying the same thing. I am saying the same thing. But he's identifying it all the way through. All the way through the scripture, all the way through the message, God has been revealing something new. And I know that the quotes are there. Matter of fact, I started pulling some of them out today because of a comment that our brother made when I was ministering last Wednesday on the group. And to bring the other side. Sometimes when you're nailing down one side, and you'll find this in the message. You'll find this with preachers. I think we all do it. When we're trying to nail down a point, sometimes we don't bring both sides. Sometimes when we're nailing something down, we're just taking that thing that we're trying to nail down. Brother Branham did that too. You watch him. Sometimes he's bringing something, and he'll nail it down, and then you'll read later, he comes back and he gets the other side of it, and it makes this sound just a little bit different. He's nailed it down, but what he's doing, he's come back and he's putting it in the middle of the road. But depending on the anointing, depending on what's going on, depending on what group he's with, depending on what spirits are floating around, what's going on around him, is the way. But when he's nailing something down, he's nailing it down. And so the same, why are you saying that, Brother Don? I'm saying that because I know that when we stand up here and we minister, there's no way that you can cover all of the subject every time. Sometimes you're trying to make a point. If you're going to just take something and study it out and bring all about it, you're going to spend a lot of time. And that's good when you have time to do that. And so I know there's a lot of things I'm saying and I'm stressing right here. And I know there's another side. That's what I'm saying. I know there's another side. And so I've watched preachers that are good critics. Some are good critics, and so, and I've had them. I had them on the mission field, and they're just painful. They're painful, Brother Goomba, when you have some places I go and that you preach. It didn't matter what I preached. They come told me what I didn't preach, and I said, "Yes, brother, that's true. That's true. That's true. You know, I have 2 hours. I have 2 hours. This message here, it took years and years and years for this message to be preached. And this Bible is thousands and thousands of years. And yes, when I preach 2 hours, there's no way I'm going to get all of it out there. But that's just the gift of some people, is they have that gift to criticize. So, all right, let's continue here. Who is this Melchizedek? And that's what the Bible has been. It's been a work of God that's been covered up. And it's been hid since the foundation of the world. And it's sevenfold mystery. And God promised in this day, at the age of this Laodicean church, that he would take the mask off the whole thing and we could see it. What a glorious, glorious thing. Amen. Praise God. You know, and this is why I say many times, we are the most blessed people. This is the most blessed time. And this is the most blessed time in the revelation, in the unfolding of God. Then that makes us the most blessed people to be amongst this part of the body, this part of the revelation. It's just the greatest. And if everybody, if the scripture even says, and the prophet even says, that they were longing for this day to see these things, then how we need to shake Satan off when we feel down and out and we feel pressure and we feel all of these other things. We need to shake it off and we need to say, hey, this is the glorious time. This is the greatest time. This is the best time to be in the presence of God, to walk with God, to preach the message. This is the best. Praise be to God. Notice, it shall be light about the evening time. The true seed come forth from Mary. But it was not her seed. It was the promise of God that she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. The carriers of life was the women. See? And now Mary, the seed, was much closer. Hagar had to receive it in a perverted way. Sarah, doubting the thing, brought it to just a natural seed, sexual desire. But Mary, without any sex at all, believed the word, and the word was made flesh. But notice, Mary being so close that she held the seed in her womb, and it looked like it would be her seed. That's how close it was. That's how close the shuck was. That's how close the church was. That's how the last day church, how close it was. It looked like it would be the real thing, like it was the seed. See? And so has the Pentecostals. I'm going to come home, but remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, in the last days, the two spirits, not the early days now, in the latter times. You pull that scripture right there. You pull them two words and you put them in the search and watch how many times he talks about the latter times. The two spirits would be so close together until it would deceive the very elected if it were possible. See? Pentecostal spirit. Just exactly like the real thing. So perfect that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. The seventh church age believed the seventh church age messenger. That's what they were believing. The seventh church age was the Pentecostal age. The problem was they denominated it. They went off and they called tongues the evidence. They had this. They weren't the only ones. The latter rain, Brother Branham said, they went up into Canada. They started their group and they went to the extreme. They were baptizing in Jesus' name, doing these different things. And so it's so close. When you're declaring the mouthpiece of God, the mouthpiece to the bride, you're declaring that's your mouthpiece too. You're declaring this is the one. So we believe that this message is God. It's God speaking. Those people believe so much that this is God speaking that they can baptize in His name, that they can fall down and worship Him. They can hang a picture on the wall of Brother Branham with the cloud over his head, and they can prostrate themselves in front of that picture. That's pretty close. That's pretty close. Because people, even people in this message, people, nominal people, worldly people, all of them look at us the same as they would look at them. They look at us and say, you've heard Brother Goomba say many times, I'm a Branhamite. You know, I don't use that terminology anymore, used to, but we believe every word. Amen. We believe every word, and we're not ashamed of it. That's the point that he's making. He's making the point, we're not ashamed. And I think there's even a scripture, I hadn't read it in a long time, whoever will receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. In the name of a prophet. That means I'm not ashamed of the name William Marion Branham. That I believe that name is the man that God called to bring the message to the bride in this last day. And to the seven church age. It was twofold. At the end of the seven church ages, God incarnated himself, impersonated himself in that veil of flesh. That was, and that very happening was that, and he called it a sign. He called it a sign. He said that was part of the sign of Sodom, because in the days of Sodom that God became flesh and went to the tent door of Abraham. Amen. And so there, that was the fulfilling of the scripture right there, that God was going to become flesh and come down and speak to his children. Amen. Make himself known. Make known to them. And so here it is at the last time, and it would be so close together. Let me just stop. Close. It's close. But do you know, they're not believing every word. Every time you take the scriptures, and I've just ran across several scriptures in the Church Ages book where Brother Branham's talking about the people of the latter times, and the false prophets. And he said, you watch, every time it's associated with being off of the word. Every time they're associated with being off of the word. And so even when they're worshiping him, even when they're baptizing in his name, even when they're coming to those places, they still are doubting the word of God, because he made it clear that's right. He made it clear that that's wrong. What they're doing is wrong. He identified that spirit, and he identified it as an Antichrist spirit. But yet, it's so close, it looks like that they're doing the right thing. Here, this is the voice of God. And it's not the right thing. It is an impersonation. It is Satan doing something to deceive the people. And that's exactly what Paul was talking about. It's exactly what Brother Branham was talking about when he said they are worshiping Satan, thinking that they are worshiping God. Because they have left the Word of God. They have left the revelation. That's not a revelation. Saying, Brother Branham, that vessel was the voice of God, that's a revelation. And if that's a revelation to you, then you're going to believe every word. You're going to believe every word. That's not my words. That's what he said. Now, after a while, maybe you'll get an understanding of what I'm trying to say. See? The seed. See? The shuck looked more like the seed. Until more than the pollen did and more than the stalk did. But they were only carriers of the seed. See? Luther organized, the stalk died. Wesley organized, the pollen died. Pentecost organized, the life died. See? That now comes forth the seed. It can't go any further. See, than the seed. What happened with Pentecost? All of the life went out of the shuck. All of the life went out of the stalk. All of it went out of everything and went into the seed. He said it sucked the life out of all of it. All of it. When you look at those natural types, to me, that's enough. that's enough for people that are trying to hold on to Pentecost. When they're trying to hold on to that, this is enough in the natural, to show that all of the life left the shuck. All of the life left Pentecost. It, all of it. And then on top of that, it was the seventh age that church that put him out. Why do you want to be in a group that put him out? What you want to do is leave with him. You want to go with him. When he was put out, you go right out the door with him. You say, I'm going where he's at. I don't want to be here. All through the years, when it, this paragraph 116, when a great move rises up, right behind it comes an organization, quickly. And about 3 years is about as long as the revival lasts. Then they organize it, makes it an organization. And it has to be many off of it, see? And like many off of Luther, the Blades, many off the Paul and Wesley, and the Pentecostal leaves going out, oneness, two-ness, three-ness, four-ness, five-ness. See, oh, mercy. See? But notice, 20 years of Jesus Christ manifested. Are you listening to this? 20 years of what? Jesus Christ manifested. Praise God. And not one organization has rise, not one will. It'll die like every latter rain move and everything else. This is the end time, the seed. And it won't be heir with the shuck. No more than Ishmael was heir with Isaac. Sometimes those things look hard in the natural. Sometimes I looked at those things in the scripture. I didn't, you know, looking from the natural standpoint, and he's telling his wife, he says, listen to what Sarah says, and he's sending her away, sending his son away. That would be painful on the flesh. That would be painful. To send a member of your body, to send away your child. But there, it had to be manifested because it was a type of the spiritual. It was a type of the spiritual. It had to be fulfilled. It had to be done. How I could go right here on that shuck and show you. Did I think I skipped some? Let's just read 118. See how close, see here how close it is. Close enough to deceive. Luther, the stock. Wesley, the tassel. Mary, the shuck. Or the womb. See, or Pentecost. How I could go right here on that shuck and show you, down through the age, it's never come so close till like it is right now. Everything is the church, see, the she. That's the church. And notice it was the she in the beginning that doubted the original promise. It wasn't God took his word back. God isn't taking his word back today. He's confirming his original word. But Sarah said maybe pre-adventure we're waiting. See? And that's what's the matter today with the people, today. You're trying to climb into something that you don't know what you're climbing into. That's what Sarah done. She climbed into something she didn't know what she was getting into. That's what Eve done. She climbed into something she didn't know what she was getting into. That's what the church did. Brother Ram said that's what the church at Pentecost did. That said that she failed, the bride failed right there. Right there. In just a few years, she had already fallen. Already fallen. How are you going to do it unless you know what you're doing? See, are you walking blindfolded, trying to climb into something that you don't know what you're doing? You'll fail. If the blind leads the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. Jesus made that quotation. That's right. Paragraph 121. But now we're standing at the time of the seed. Now the seed will hold, see, will support, cooperate with the seed holding it. It was set there for that purpose, to hold it. Because as the sun comes up in the early spring upon the wheat, watch the whole nature through the season roll, through the day roll, everything roll just perfectly right with God. Now, when that warm sun begins to shine upon the seed, it breaks forth. But the world has to be in a certain position to make that seed break forth. See? Out of the dirt. It has to be quickened. The sun has to hit it. It can't be in the nighttime. It's got to be in the daytime. It's got to be when the sun is hitting it. It's got to come around this way and get in a certain position to make that seed come forth. It couldn't do it in the dark ages. It couldn't do it back there. It was dying. It was going into the ground. It had to be buried. Brother Branham, in this, when he's talking about this, I think this is the same place right in this area right here. He goes to talking about that book, The Silent God. When the guy was criticizing, he was criticizing Brother Branham. The man who wrote that book, I think he said he was a German guy or something, I don't know. Whoever he was talking about it, and he said a God that could set up there in the dark ages and cross his hands and said, all of those people, those babies being ripped from their mother, those women, their hair set on fire, tarred and set on fire. He said, and watch them go through those things. And Brother Branham said, that's the carnal mind. That's the intellectual mind. He said, that seed had to go in the ground. It had to go in the ground so it could come forth and come back in a many-membered body. It had to go. It had to be. 172. Let every unclean spirit that's in these people, every spirit of doubting, every spirit of fear, every denominational cling, every habit, every sickness, every disease that's among the people, leave. In the name of Jesus Christ, may it come out of this group of people. And may they be free from this hour on, that they can eat the eagle food that we're believing you'll send us through the week. Lord, breaking open those seals and showing those mysteries that's been hid since the foundation of the world, as you promised, they are yours, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Wanting one thing, to put everything behind us, to put everything behind us, to bind every spirit that tries to hinder us or make us doubt, to, in any way, with this revelation, it came from a birth. And without that birth, you cannot have a true spiritual revelation. And as I was talking to Sister Edith the other day, and she said, I'm not there. And I said, yes, you are. You are there. I said, every one of the elect is there. I said, we're not where we want to be. I don't think any of us can say we're where we want to be. We want more. We want more revelation. We want more of Him. But don't speak it and say you don't have it. You do have it. It's in you and it's growing. And it is God bringing to pass. I have no control over how much revelation I have. I have no control over how deep I can go. As a matter of fact, Brother Gumba was talking about Sunday, talking about the people saying that they're listening, they're listening. And I had the same thing when I was there in Kenya, had the same thing. People saying, we're listening to all of your messages. And we're going on the YouTube, we're listening to those things. I had a brother tell me today, after ministering, I hadn't seen him in a long time in India, and he said, I listened to all the messages. People that I feel like are deeper than I am. People I feel like know more than I know. And it's humbling. It makes you feel small. And it makes you, but I know exactly what, when Brother Gumba was saying what he was saying the other day, I heard those same people saying the same thing. Saying the same thing. They're following the messages. They're following the things. And I know, especially there in Kenya, there's a lot of people, and a lot from the group there with Brother Gumba, but the church in Thika is just a part of it. Because if you look at the outreach that church has had, it's all across Kenya, and now it's even going across the world. And so their influence, and you know, it makes me think of what Brother Branham said about Billy Graham and about Paul. Billy Graham talked about how he could get so many thousands and tens of thousands of people, and said in 6 months he couldn't get a fraction, he couldn't get 1% of them. And he said Paul could go into a place and get a dozen, and he said come back or get one and come back and there'd be a dozen, and it just multiply and multiply. And that's what the word will do. The word will multiply. And it's we don't have to have a television program already. I'm not speaking against them. That's fine. If God opens that, that's fine. But we don't have to have that. God will get his word out. He will put it out there. And so sometimes we just feel, I think, just like what Sister Edith was saying. We don't feel worthy. We don't feel like we're where we should be. We don't feel like where we want to be. I don't. I don't feel worthy to stand here. I think there's so many people more qualified than I am to. But for whatever reason, we all, and that's one thing I really like of what Brother Gumba talks about, and he's really, and I've repeated it many times. Every one of us got a part. Every single one of us have a part. And that's the thing that we can't let Satan make us doubt. We must put that at the forefront every day. And if Satan is making you doubt your position, if Satan is making you doubt what God has called you to do, and making you feel like you're not good enough, or you're not far enough along, or you don't have enough revelation, that's not one person. That's all of us. Satan does that to all of us. Every one of us go through that same exact battle. And if that thing just keeps on, then what we need to do is wake up in the morning and say, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Because Satan don't like to hear it. And when you say it, it empowers you. It does something to you when you speak it. And you say, I'm a son of God. And I know that I'm not worthy, but I know that Jesus Christ called me to believe this last day message. I know that I'm a son of God. I know that I'm a daughter of God. I know that I believe this message. I may have faults and failures. I may just be miserable in this flesh. I might have all kind of problems. But I know this revelation is true. And I know that God is working a work in me. And he's bringing me to him. He's getting that preeminence little by little by little. And so let us stay there. Marriage and divorce, paragraph 80. Now we have two thoughts on this marriage and divorce. Do you think it's only two? Oh, there's a lot of thoughts, isn't there? Now that our Lord has opened the seven seal mystery of his word to us in this last days. Now, many of you, this might be Greek to you, but my church understands. Praise God. Amen. Don't you think that made them feel good? Yeah. Don't you think that made that group, that church, feel good? It did. He didn't always make them feel good, but he was always honest. He was always honest. And he told them their faults. He told them their failures. And so we know that. We believe this. We're a part of that group. Because he's really not talking to Branham Tabernacle. He's really talking to the bride. Yes, he's really talking to the bride. He said, my bride understands. And you've heard of the visions and what taken place. And the question is a Bible question. We are invited here to believe that there must be a true answer to the whole hidden secret that's been hid since the foundation of the world. Yes. And the Bible prophesies and says that in this day, these secrets would be made known. Revelations 10. That's how he's bringing Revelations 10. Those seven thunders, he's bringing them right into this revelation of marriage and divorce. bringing them right in there, saying this mystery of marriage and divorce had been hid from the foundation of the world. And when you read that message, you just watch and compare, because you've read the message, you've heard it. Just compare as you're reading the things that he's saying that had never been known, had never been talked about, had never been preached. Mark them, note them, note those things. The Bible prophesies and says that in this day, these secrets would be made known. Revelation 10, at the sounding of the seventh angel, the Laodicean messenger, the mysteries of God would be made known. And this is the last age, which is Laodicea. That's right. All right. All right. I'm going to try to get one more in here. This is in Shalom. And I ended up adding a little bit there that was in the seed is not there with the shock. And some of that was maybe a little bit off the subject, but it just, sometimes it just sounds good and I don't want to leave it out. So sometimes it's a by the way. You know, you find when you're studying, you run across things that you wouldn't find if you're searching for it. In other words, you're on a subject and you're searching, you're using this phrase. But then he'll say it sometime in another way and use none of those key words. And so, then when you run across those things sometime, you want to put it in there. In fact, I have some that I ended up taking out of here today. I was getting out of a message, as the eagle stirreth her nest. And he really said some good things. And of course he talked about the eagle too. And so, when he's talking about those things, it's always, it just, because we're eagles and because, we came from a birth and, that we were just taken care of by him and he's protected us and he kept us. And then, those eagles, they were taken so high. Brother Branham said the eagle always puts his nest at the highest possible place he can get, the highest up in the cleft of the mountain, way up there as high as he can. And he said those eagles, and he said he pads that thing with feathers and with everything that he can get, and he just makes it a lovely home, cozy, and he protects them and keeps them, and everything is just wonderful. And he comes and he feeds them every day, and they're just there, and it's warm and it's comfortable and it's beautiful. And he said then one day, said he comes up there and he says they've matured. Yep. They've matured. They've come to a place now where it's time for a change. It's time for something new. And he said now it's time to shock them. And he says he just comes in without any warning. And he says it takes those wings and he just starts, the wind is just making the wind. And said it blows all the feathers out of that nest. Blows all the comfort out of that nest. All the warmth out of that nest. And says, it's time now for them to learn to fly. Yes, and he said, he gets them up and he makes them hold on and he takes them up and he can just drop them and then let them fall and let them see what they do. And if they don't get it just right, just comes right under them, picks them back up, grabs them back up. Or first he might take them down and lay them there in the pasture, in the meadow, and just let them lay there in the grass, play around in the grass and just hop around, you know. And a little bit, you know, doing nothing more than what a few chickens would do because they haven't learned how to fly yet. But he said he takes them down there first and just lets them bask in it, in the sun, and just play around, have a good time. But all the time, he goes and he flies up and he's watching them. And it amazes me that an eagle can go so far up there you can't see him and he can see a mouse on the ground. That's the kind of eyesight that he has. Almost like a prophet that sees things that can't be seen. He's seeing into another dimension. He's seeing into a place that can't be seen with the natural eye. That God's light. This is paragraph 96, 95. Now, to you predestinated seed, shalom. How about that for a welcome? God's peace rest upon you, because we're near the end now. We're right down near the end. We're going to talk about that group for a while. Shalom. God's light has come. The word, the light, is vindicated again, so that you can see the manifestations of the promise of God for this day. I'm going to read it again. God's light has come. The word, light, is vindicated again. Brother Branham said, it's not light until it's vindicated. So that you can see the manifestations of the promise of God for this day. Search the scripture. In them you think you have eternal life. They testify of the day that we're living in. What is the light of the day? What did the Bible promise for this day? See what hour it is. See? No wonder Jesus rebuked them for not believing John. He was the light, because the prophet said he would come. And there he was, the manifested light. They didn't see it. They didn't understand it. They thought he was the Messiah. They thought something else, and this another, and they failed to see it. They thought one thing, another, all kind of different ideas. That's how it always is. See? They couldn't get it. Jesus come on, and two lights can't shine at the same time. There can't be a church light and God's light at the same time. It's got to be God's light putting out the church light. And that's exactly what's taking place today. Is that right? That's what's taking place today. God's put out the church light. The churches don't have it no more. God is no longer revealing himself as a church. He's no longer revealing himself in the church. No, he's revealing himself in individuals. In individuals. And that's exactly what's taking place today. God is separating churchism from his light of the promised word of this hour that we're living. That's the truth, friend. You might not want to believe that, but you just wait and find out if it's so or not. See, don't wait. You better get in right now while there's a chance to get in. That's right. 99. The word is light when it's vindicated. Until the word it promised for the day is vindicated, then it's not light. You're getting that? It cannot be. If God said, let there be light, and no sun come into existence, there's no sign of light. But when God said, let there be light, and there was light, that was the vindicated word, wasn't it? That was the manifestation of the attribute. That was the manifestation of the spoken word of God. When God's promised word, when God promised a Messiah, Messiah come, then his word was fulfilled. And he was the light of the hour. And when he promised Noah, and he promised the others on down, they was the light of the hour. And there is a light of the hour today. And that's Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection. His word that's promised for this day. Amen. And that's where we're living, and that's what you are a part of. You are a part of that vindication. He promised that he was going to have a bride without spot or wrinkle. That's you. Amen. That's what he promised. He was going to have a people living on the earth today that would have the literal life of Jesus Christ living in them, manifesting in them, expressing him today. That's the promise. Amen. And they would have no sin. No sin. Absolutely. Everything points to it. The scripture points to it. The message points to it. The opening of the seals point to it. Amen. All the way points to it. Even in Revelations, and Brother Brandon brought it out in the seals. He said that that brazen sea, he said it was clear as crystal. Yes. And the interpretation of that was no more sin. Sorry. How could that be? The same way that you could recognize you're eternal, that you're in eternity, that you're an eternal creature, you also recognize that you never had any sin. You cannot sin because you're part of him. That's it. The works that I do shall you do also. Greater than this shall you do, for I go to the Father. Greater works, greater things than he did. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe it. See, it seems humble. It seems like it goes over the top of people's heads. Look, when he was here on earth, how could you do greater works? I've translated that many times more. But the same thing, greater. Brother Branham's saying, and we've read this before. It's just in here, so I'm just reading it again. See, he said, I've translated it many times as more, but the same thing. See? But the scripture said greater. He said in St. John 14:12, greater works than this shall you do. And did you notice, when he went to make water into wine, he took water first, an already created substance, and turned it into wine. And when he fed 5,000, he took a fish that once swam in the water, and he broke it and handed it out. Multiplied creation. And it's still supernatural. It's still a miracle. It's still wonderful. But that's not what this scripture is talking about. This scripture is talking about something greater than that. To take water and turn it into wine, that's amazing. That was something that had never been done before. And now it was being done. To take a fish and break it, and just keep breaking it and breaking it and breaking it and get more fish and more fish and more fish. That's supernatural enough. But that's not what he said. Just like he told Sarah. That's not what he told Sarah. You're going to have a son by some other woman, call it yours. That's not what he said. He said, Sarah's going to have a son. You're going to do it. You're going to do greater. He took bread that was once wheat, baked into bread, broke it, and hung it. See, he handed it out to the people. It returned back again. Multiplied creation. But in the last days, when there is no sign of creation, he speaks it into creation. Anyhow, see, shows to be the same God that was in the beginning. He can create squirrels. He can create whatever he wants to, sure, because he's God. Greater things than this will you do. For I go to my Father. He did what they did. He spoke to the storm when he was up there on the mountain. He spoke to the storm and it went away. It was snowing. They were calling for a great blizzard that was going to snow the people in. And it was going to be so deep that some of the men left because they wouldn't be able to get out in the vehicles. They would be snowed in for no telling how many days or weeks. And so They were all prepared for it. All across the country were prepared for it. And God said, just speak. And he said, storm, go away. That was a miracle. That was supernatural. That was just wonderful. But that's not what he said. He said, here, you're going to do greater than that. You're going to do greater than that. And he did it. He spoke into existence where there was nothing. Not multiplying, but speaking into existence. Like a little story I was reading the other morning. A woman hollered into her husband, who had got up early and went out and got the morning paper. And he was reading the morning paper. And she said, is there anything new in the news? And he said, no, just the same thing, only different people. That's right. That's about the way it is today. The same thing. We got a new organization. We got same old doctrine. See, just pet it around. Somebody get a little phase of it going this way or that way. See, 109. This is a new day. Hallelujah. This is a day that we should rise and shine in the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Gross darkness settling upon the earth. There should be a new day for us. Yes, indeed. Doing it just the way he does. But turn it to his word and see the promises that promise for this day. That's right. And you'll know whether you're living in the daylight or not. Amen. See, that's right. Praise be to God. He goes, when you get back, or when we get back to the invisible union, he says that. He says, we have a new land, a new message, a new day. We have something that has never been before. And it's the spoken word. It's the spoken word. And he came himself and he spoke it. He brought it forth. He brought it forth to the people. Amen. Something that had never been known. So the fact that he spoke squirrels into creation was just the natural side of what was being done in the spiritual side, because he was speaking a word that had never been known, that had never been revealed, had never come forth since the foundation of the world. Amen. And so we've got something new today. We've got something that they don't understand, and they can't understand it, because He is the only one who can reveal it, who can make it known. And that's enough for us to wake up to every morning and thank God and praise God, is that He's let you see this message, that He's let you see the voice of God, that He's let you see that you have something that nobody, no other group of people has ever had. You're seeing something that He said, and the Bible said, that those prophets longed to see it and to understand it. And you do. You do see it. You do understand it. And you're a living manifestation of it. Right. Amen. Praise be to God. And we thank Him. And we're going to stop right there. We could actually go a long time. We're about halfway. But I thank God for what He's given us. I thank Him for these great blessings. And so now I think we talked to everybody. I didn't get to talk to Brother Richard, but I left a message for him. We were going to get together with the brethren tomorrow at 7 o'clock here. And we were going to talk about the meetings coming up and try to get everything together, start getting things organized. And so we wanted to have the brethren together. And so we all put our heads together and our hearts together and ask God for the leadership in this thing. So let us stand together now. And I'm going to ask Brother Groom if you'll come and dismiss us tonight in a word of prayer. And we will just, once again, we'll be looking forward to Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. And He gave us a good taste of it Sunday. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I don't know if God has worked a work for Brother Goomba in his hand, or if it's just that he shook 10,000 people's hands while he was in Kenya. And so it's forced him. It's forced him to bring this hand back. And so you just feel every time you shake his hand, it's getting a little stronger, a little stronger. So if you look at the x-rays, you don't see the possibility. But when you shake the hand, you know God's did something. And so we thank God. And so God bless you.
Definitely, it's stronger. It's good. I don't know how it came, but I just felt like that. And first few shakes, it was really hurting. And I just continued like that. And it's still there. It still has a bit, but it is stronger now. It feels better now. Thank you very much. I really like the Don. One of the things that I found out is that what you just brought tonight, I was looking at it. I was exactly looking at those things like that, because I found out that they have this idea that where we are at, and because of the quote that you read in the church ages, is that we are taken back into the first, into our fathers, to the faith of our fathers. And that is what this age is for. And I found out to be a bit strange, and I wanted to listen to them a bit more. And I found that is exactly what they're saying. Some of them don't even understand what others are saying. They don't understand that they are different, but they think it's obvious that this age is back to Paul. Yeah. We are back to Paul. We are back to the first passage where Malachi 4 was supposed to take us back to. That's what they think. And that quote, that's the strongest quote they have there in audition. And that's in other words, we have Ephesus and we have Laodicea. Now, instead of Laodicea being this and this together, they are getting further that this Bradage and this Ephesus is the same. That's a very wrong doctrine. that's completely, but you brought it very well. Now you're clearing it very, very, very well. And I think those people who are listening in now can understand it. It's not. This is a new age. This is a completely new.
Amen.
This is not anything to do with church ages. Rhodesia and Ephesus were not. Were the same.
Yeah.
But that is we were Rhodesia was taking the people back to this. That's right. Exactly. But now we are further than that. Amen. We've left all the church ages and we are further than that. And that's a new thing. That's a new life. That's a new message. That's a new everything. It's completely new. Is the bride and the bridegroom together? They are in union now.
Amen.
What God has always wanted, He has achieved. He's gotten what He's been looking for.
That's right.
It's becoming very clear now, Brother Don. And those schools are really clearing it. And you know, the work of a minister is to get the devil where the devil is hiding things and twisting things to the people and entangling them and putting them up there for the people to see. Praise be to God. So God bless you very much, brother. That was very clear. That was very good. I'm looking at those quotes and they really helped me, those quotes. they're really opening it up, and that's very important. Thank you very much. So let's pray. Father, that story of the eagle and how He cares, Father, for the eaglets, Lord God, is so great, Father. It's so deep, Lord God. It's so powerful, Father. And that's what You do to us, Lord God. And sometimes, Father, it doesn't look like, Father, You are doing it because You speak this way, You speak this way, Lord. But sometimes You come down, like today, Father, and opening those things, Lord God, and nitty-gritties, and Lord God, it puts a lot of light to what You're saying, Lord. Father, we are thankful for that. We are thankful for Your care. Father, let it be that when we get these things, Lord God, it draws us closer to You. It makes us closer to You, Father. Surrender more, Father. Give ourselves more to You. Love You more, Lord God. Father, we commit ourselves to You. Tonight, Father, as we dismiss, we pray, Father, You dismiss each one with a great blessing, Lord, that has come forth from the revelation of Your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.